Hello, this is Randy Thompson from the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to Music Reviewed. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. For the next half hour, I shall be reading articles about music from such sources as the New York Times, the News and Observer, the Week Magazine, Rolling Stone, and Entertainment Weekly. Music Review is designed to provide the latest coverage of classical folk, jazz, blues, rock, country, and pop music news. But first, these musical trivia questions. Today's musical trivia questions come to us from the website TriviaQuestionsNow.com. Question number one. In 2008, which artist broke the record for the youngest ever to win a Grammy for Album of the Year? Hint, the name of that 2008 Album of the Year is Fearless. So who is the youngster who won that award in 2008? Was that A, Brian Wilson, B, Taylor Swift, C, Neil Young, or D, Madonna? And question number two, who was the first female singer to be inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? Hint, the year was 1987. So who was this singer? Was it A, Judy Collins, B, Aretha Franklin, C, Etta James, or D, Janis Joplin? The answers to these two important musical trivia questions will be given, as usual, at the end of today's program. Our transitions come to us from the website onthisday.com, and today, quote-unquote, is the weekend of June 26th. Well, it was on this very day back in 1959 that the play West Side Story, with music by Leonard Bernstein, closed after 734 performances on Broadway. 1959 today. And it was 43 years ago today, 1977, that Elvis Presley's final concert took place at Market Square Arena, Indianapolis. 1977 today.
Fan again, and we are from Raleigh, North Carolina, but we do make it up and down the country, so check us out at kickinggrass.com, and I think we're going to let the fiddle player here take us out with a good old number. We started out as the accompanying band for the Applechill Cloggers. That's how we all got together, was playing good old instrumental tunes, so we're going to take you out with one called the Cherokee Shuffle.
The Kicking Grass Cherokee Shuffle introduces our country folk and bluegrass music news. It's an article entitled, Bluegrass Won't Fill Raleigh Streets This Fall. Here's what's planned instead. This is written by Brooke Kane and Drew Jackson and published in News and Observer on the 16th of June, 2020. Normally, more than 200,000 people crowd downtown Raleigh streets and music venues each fall for IBMA's World of Bluegrass Festival, a scenario that's simply not possible during a pandemic. But that doesn't mean the show can't go on. The association announced that this year's conference, showcases, awards, and festival performances, slated for September 28th through October 3rd, will all be presented online. Paul Schiminger, the executive director of International Bluegrass Music Association, said that the challenge of presenting a large-scale music festival in the middle of the global coronavirus crisis forced the association to, quote-unquote, reimagine every aspect of the festival so that it could proceed and perhaps even recruit some new fans. We hope to introduce new participants to the types of things we normally do in Raleigh so we can invite them to join us in person for the fun in 2021 and hopefully many years beyond, Schiminger said. The many years beyond in that statement points to the fact that the IBMA is currently negotiating with the city of Raleigh to keep the festival here through 2024. The World of Bluegrass Festival generated an estimated $18.65 million in direct economic impact with Wake County last year, the highest the highest single-year total for the festival, according to the Greater Raleigh Convention and Visitors Bureau. Last year's attendance, 218,000. The festival, which moved to Raleigh from Nashville in 2013, has featured some of the largest acts in bluegrass, such as Alison Krauss, Steve Martin and the Steep Canyon Rangers, Rihanna Giddens, and others. Dozens of additional acts also perform each year on a half-dozen street stages in downtown Raleigh, all of which will happen this year via free live streaming and on-demand platforms. Check out the IBMA and pinecone.org websites in the next couple months for additional information about accessing this fall's free festival. Join us on September 28th. Yo-Yo Ma's Bach Cello Suite number 1-1 introduces our classical music news. It's an article entitled Rihanna Giddens and Yo-Yo Ma Drop New Song for Juneteenth. This is written by Jem Oswad and published in Variety magazine on the 19th of June, 2020. Singer-songwriter Rihanna Giddens, accompanied virtually by virtuoso cellist Yo-Yo Ma, has released a new song called Build a House in honor of Juneteenth. This song, Build a House, came knocking a week ago and I had to let it in, Giddens wrote in a Twitter message accompanying the nearly five-minute-long song, which features split video of her performing it with Ma. What can I say about what's been happening? What has happened, and what continues to happen in this country, in the world. There's too many words and none all at once, so I let the music speak as usual. What a thing to mark this 155th anniversary of Juneteenth with that beautiful soul at Yo-Yo Ma, she wrote in a follow-up tweet, honored to have it out in the world. Ma wrote in a tweet sharing an excerpt of this song, there are so many stories made invisible, too often violent histories hidden beneath the surfaces of our cities, our institutions, our music. It's our job to make them visible. I'm honored to mark hashtag Juneteenth with a new song by at Rihanna Giddens. The pair previously collaborated on Sing Me Home, the 2016 album by Ma's Silk Road Ensemble. Giddens is best known as a country and roots musician, an accomplished singer. She also plays banjo and fiddle, but studied opera at the Oberlin Conservatory. In addition to her solo recordings and extensive session and guesswork, she is a member of the Grammy-winning combo, the Carolina Chocolate Drops. Yo-Yo Ma is one of the most widely renowned classical musicians in the world, with degrees from the Juilliard School and Harvard University, and multiple recordings and performances. He has won 8 Grammy Awards, the Presidential Medal of Freedom, and multiple other honors. You brought me here to build your house.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
Louis Armstrong singing What a Wonderful World introduces our music research and technology news. It's an article titled, Trumpeter Practices Social Distancing with Sunset Serenades. This is written by Sean Holko, published in the News and Observer on the 26th of April, 2020. With a stay-at-home order still in place in Washington State, one musician has found a unique way to practice social distancing while doing what he loves. Pace Rubidoux, a 45-year-old trumpeter who is a veteran of the U.S. Army Band, has been performing at the Bellingham Municipal Court parking lot every evening at 7:30 since March 23rd. It started because I work in the service industry full-time and was laid off about a month ago. I'm a person who has always become most inspired being able to connect with the community around me, but also being thankful to have played an instrument like the trumpet that can sort of project. My sunset serenades just seemed like something I could do to bring a bit of light into this dark time. At the end of each concert, Rubidoux concludes with "What a Wonderful World," made famous by Louis Armstrong, much to the pleasure of the residents in the surrounding homes.
Myself, what a wonderful world.
People responded to it really well, Rubidoux says. There have even been a couple of nights where it's been like a drive-in movie theater, where people just park their cars at a distance and not even get out, just yell thanks through the window, and it's been incredibly cathartic and special. I'm so thankful for these moments and look forward to when we can actually walk up to these people and thank them with a handshake, high five, or a hug. Rubidoux says he'll keep going for as long as I feel comfortable. I mean, safety is the priority, and connecting with people from afar is what it's about. But also, it's important to just make sure that it's done at a distance. Rodriguez's Sandrevan Lullaby Lifestyles introduces our rock and pop music news. It's entitled How Searching for Sugar Man Unearthed the Legend of Rodriguez. From unsung talent to international star, the film resurrected the once-forgotten singer-songwriter Sixto Rodriguez. Brett Milano is the writer. 30th of August 2019 is the date. YouDiscoverMusic.com is the source. To paraphrase Tom Jones, it's not unusual for anyone to make a great album, even two great albums, that don't sell. And it's not unusual when the artist disappears after those albums flop. What is unusual is when those albums get rediscovered, making the artist an international star some four decades after the fact. That is why the story of Sixto Rodriguez is so inspiring. Thanks to the 2012 award-winning documentary, Searching for Sugar Man, the story of Rodriguez is now a familiar one. The Detroit-based singer-songwriter releases two albums on the L.A.-based label Sussex Records in 1970 and 71, respectively, which then somehow find their way to South Africa as imports long after the U.S. versions have been deleted. Thousands of copies are bootlegged, and the music touches a chord, not least because the anti-racist sentiments of some lyrics translate well to the anti-apartheid movement. Even anti-apartheid activist Steve Biko apparently owns copies, and you can't ask for a better endorsement than that. Yet nobody knows who or where Rodriguez is. Rumors spread that he had died in some spectacular way, and a few fans set to discover the truth. Then the late Swedish director, Malik Benjola, comes along and documents the efforts of two Cape Town fans to track Rodriguez down.
Never a hijack trying so hard to be pretty. Night rains tap at my window. Winds of my thoughts passing by. She laughed when I tried to tell her. Hello only ends in goodbye.
He is, of course, not dead. Just living quietly in the Detroit area, where he's probably the only resident without a cell phone or an internet connection. Rodriguez comes to South Africa for a triumphant set of shows, which provides the emotional climax of Ben Jaloux's documentary. For most of the world, however, Rodriguez's rediscovery happens because of the movie itself. The well-chosen soundtrack album, combining songs from the two studio albums, Cold Fact and Coming From Reality, charted worldwide. The film won the Best Documentary Oscar in 2013, and Rodriguez toured nationally over the next several years, playing the early 70s material to an audience that never heard it the first time around. But if Rodriguez was so good, why did his records initially flop? One possible explanation is that his label, Sussex, simply had its hands full. Their star artist was Dennis Coffey, the great Motown guitarist, and the label had just signed another soulful, largely acoustic artist who perhaps had a little more star potential, Bill Withers. Or could it be because the pop world in 1971 was just too much an embarrassment of riches? For soul and rock music, the early 70s were the years of game changes. Marvin Gaye, Sly and the Family Stone, the Rolling Stones, and the songwriting world shaken up by a not-so-young upstart named David Bowie. In a climate of wall-to-wall brilliance, listeners were likely to greet a street poet like Rodriguez with a been-there-done-that kind of shrug. Brilliant songwriting was no longer enough to guarantee an audience. Just ask Nick Drake, if you could. Rodriguez's trademark blend of folk and may have been considered low-key at the time of their release, but now sounded more familiar. It was no coincidence that Dave Matthews had been covering the Rodriguez song Sugar Man. The Detroit songwriter's earnings about racism and political corruptions may have been old news in 1971, but at the time of rediscovery, they played as words of wisdom from another era. Rodriguez went on tour to the States with the Beach Boys' Brian Wilson in 2015, two of music's least predictable geniuses on the same bill, and he has played sporadically since then, most recently in mid-2018. While on tour, the singer-songwriter had downplayed his own catalog in favor of some truly wide-ranging cover tunes. He's done everything from great American songbook standards like On the Street Where You Live to hippie-era nuggets from The Doors and Jefferson Airplane to out-of-nowhere choices like Frankie Valli's My Eyes Adored You. The last song he played at his recent Royal Albert Hall concert in London was none other than Tennessee Ernie Ford's 16 Tons. While many musical legends are content to lean on their greatest hits, it's clear that the Sugar Man is still searching for something. Creative inspiration? Or a cover album? Maybe it's time for another movie. Or perhaps more in line with his low-key personality, his lyrics and song, I'll Slip Away, is an appropriate way to conclude this article.
And I'll forget about the girl that said no. Then I'll tell who I want where to go. And I'll forget about your lies and deceit and your attempts to be so discreet. Maybe today
This fascinating documentary, Searching for Sugar Man, was recommended by Deborah Day of Raleigh, North Carolina. Thank you, Debbie.
And you can keep your clocks and routines. Then I go mend all my shattered dreams. Maybe today.
Have I held too tight? Should I just let go? When you break, is it from weakness or trying to be too strong? Wipe holes in my fingers, hang on like chalk in rain. What will I know tomorrow that I don't?
Tiff Merritt's Colors introduces our local music news. It's an article entitled When the Concert Comes Home, written by Mark Kemp, published in Our State magazine, April 2020. 40 acres, Triangle area. In North Carolina, the current house concert trend began slowly but steadily in the late 1990s. When a DJ at Duke University radio station WXDU decided to do here what he'd seen done so successfully in the San Francisco Bay Area. Instead of booking artists at local clubs, he had them play in the homes of volunteer music lovers. The Durham nonprofit 40 Acres Concerts was born. And by the early 2000s, it was booking primarily artists performing alternative country, Americana, folk, and bluegrass, among other roots music genres. The timing was right. North Carolina had a hot Americana music scene then, with bands such as Raleigh's Whiskey Town making waves nationally, and older folk music veterans like Alice Gerard teaching at Duke University. Young upstarts, including the Triangle area singer-songwriter Tiff Merritt and the Carolina Chocolate Drops, performed early 40 Acres house concerts before going on to bigger national careers. The 40 Acres concept was compelling. Position the artist at the center of a living room with no stage, no amplifiers, and have them play their songs. Chat casually with their fans and maybe sell a few CDs. 2 decades later, 40 Acres continues to promote new artists in private spaces around the Triangle. For information on concerts, call 919-451-0864 or visit 40acres.org.
All the colors that I see will keep me company till my sleeping heart wakes up.
So, how'd you do on today's musical trivia questions? Well, the answer to our first question, in 2008, which artist broke the record for the youngest ever to win a Grammy for Album of the Year? Hint, the name of that 2008 Album of the Year is Fearless. So, who is the youngster who won that award in 2008? Was that A, Brian Wilson, B, Taylor Swift, C, Neil Young, or D, Madonna? Correct answer is answer B, Taylor Swift. In 2008, Taylor Swift became the youngest artist ever to win Album of the Year for her 2008 sophomore release, Fearless, at 20 years of age. As noted by Hazel Sillis in a 8/19/19 Pitchfork.com article, when Taylor Swift moved to Nashville as a teenager with hopes of becoming a country star, she faced an uphill battle. Basically, all the record companies went, "Aw, how cute, she's just a little kid," Swift said in 2008. Her second album, Fearless, remains not only Swift's best-selling album, but her breakthrough into the pop charts, a world which would soon become her permanent home, or a permanent cage. In Fearless, Swift captures and bottles a girlish sense of romantic excitement and suburban anguish that is all too fleeting before real adulthood and the depths of the world's cruelty actually hit her. For the rest of her career, she would uncork this nostalgia like champagne and pour it over her pop mega hits. This ain't Hollywood. This is a small town, she sings as if to remind herself that she's still just the teen girl next door, a country singer with dreams of a bigger stage. In that all-too-brief moment, she was right. And the answer to our second question, who was the first female singer to be inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? Was that A, Judy Collins, B, Aretha Franklin, C, Etta James, or D, Janis Joplin? Correct answer. Answer B, Aretha Franklin. As noted by A.J. Willingham in an 8/17/18 CNN article, in 1987, Aretha Franklin made history as the first woman to be inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And in doing so, she set the stage for generations of female artists, more specifically, female African-American artists. Lady Soul, they wrote on Twitter, Aretha Franklin was an artist of passion, sophistication, and command, whose recordings remained anthems that defined soul music. Long live the Queen. So, let's temporarily say goodbye to Music Review, till you come back to me, as Aretha sang in 1973. Time for today's episode of Music Review. And as we leave you, remember these words. Kindness is a language which blind people see and deaf people hear. Be sure to tune in again at the same time next week. I'm Randy Thompson, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Music Review is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast in our website, ncreadingservice.org. Now, if you have a suggestion for music to feature on this program, please leave a message for me, Randy Thompson, at 919-832-5138. So long, until next time.